You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
What's up, everyone? I'm Chris Voss.
Yo, this is Grant Cardone.
What's up, guys? This is Ezra Firestone, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle, the podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Today, I'm joined by Jason Odio. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you, man?
Hey, thanks for being here. You came with goodies. What do we got here?
We got matcha, cafe con leche, and some fresh pastries from Bebito's Cafe on the beach.
Which is one of your businesses, correct?
Correct.
You work in the hospitality industry. You have multiple locations, and you also own a mezcal brand.
Correct.
That's super cool. Let's dive into that. How did that start?
Oh, man. Where do I start? Got into hospitality in high school. Did kind of a... It's kind of weird to listen to yourself on the headphones, by the way.
Just putting that right.
It's the first time I've had this sensation. It's interesting. Something new to me. So
sounds good.
I got to catch on to that. I got into it in high school.
Okay.
Did an all ages, you know, high school night at a family friend's club during the summertime.
Mm.
It went very well. And I think from there, his name's Roman, he saw the potential in me. I think at first he did it like, okay, like I'll do you the favor of letting you do it. Maybe it'll make you cool in high school kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it turned out very well. And I think from there, he's like, okay, like, let me keep you close.
Because
I see like once you turn of age, I could kind of use you. Kind of being like the next generation in nightlife. So when I turned 18, I started working for him and I was working at in like the 21 and over clubs at 18 years old. So it was a cool moment for me, you know, to be that young and have access to, you know, kind of like these.
Super badass.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and that helps with connections, that helps with socializing, getting friends, getting girls, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That's so dope. I used to go to all ages parties during high school. They would do some in Sunny Isles at the hotels. They would rent out the, like the ballrooms and it was all ages. They had punch and whatever and they played music. At the time, I thought it was super cool. But that's cool that even from that age, like you were on track and you're still doing that right now.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's all I know, but it's most of what I know. I mean, I've done it most of my life. I mean, I'm 38 years old, started officially, I guess, when I was 18.
Yeah.
So I've been at it for 20 years.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's consistent, man. And you mentioned Roman. Roman is your mentor.
Yeah. I mean, he's practically family. His whole family is very close to mine. My dad kind of mentored him a bit when he was young.
Wow.
And in turn kind of mentored me. So I worked with him for about 10 years and then went off on my own.
And I just want to make sure we're talking about the same Roman. We're talking about Beard Roman, hospitality.
Correct. Yeah, Kiki.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I've partied with Roman before.
Yeah.
That's so funny. What a small world.
Yeah,
he knows my cousin and we've been able to chill a few times. That's so dope.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have somebody that really knew about the industry that's been like in it for a while.
Yeah.
That's really good to have a mentor. And on a few previous episodes, we talked about the importance of mentorship and learning from other people and bringing value to the table. Being able to be a sponge and soak a lot in. I'm guessing that's what it was for you from 18 to maybe your even mid-20s, right? Just like taking it all in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate. My dad was, I mean, you know, my mom and my stepfather are mentors of mine, but my dad was very connected in a lot of different industries.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was fortunate to kind of tag along with him in the summers and go to work with him and on the weekends go to work with him and sit in on meetings that I probably shouldn't have been in. And you know, I kind of learned a lot. And from there, you know, a lot of people he was close with in turn kind of mentored me, not only in nightlife, but also in the music industry and, you know, a bunch of stuff.
And at what point? OK, so you were helping out during your early times, like 18, 19, 20. At what point were you seen as somebody that was worthy of being a partner? Or was that something that you were from the beginning or you had to work your way up to it? How did that work out? Or before you started your first like.
I mean, I got to be honest with you, it's, you know, nightlife is an interesting business. You know, I feel like our core business is to show people a good time.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of other things that come with it. But, you know, at the core of it, you know, that's what we're set out to do. So with that is late nights, drinking, having fun. But I always try to maintain myself as kind of a serious person, you know, even within all that and even at a young age. So I think people recognize that in me. And said, okay, you know, like this guy's just not in this for you know, the girls, the money, and
the flex.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he kind of takes it seriously, you know, and I tried to learn as much as I could, you know, when a lot of people were just kind of sleeping in or partying all night, I took as many opportunities to learn. And yeah, I took advantage of it when I could. And I think people gave me the opportunity, you know, when I was, you know, practically 29 years old to start, you know, my first business.
So it took you roughly 11 years of learning, going through it, grinding, meeting people, like getting to know yourself before like the first venture came up.
Yeah. And you know, like I did start at an early age, so I wasn't in any position to start something. So it definitely took time.
And it's expensive to start these types of things. I mean, I'm an online marketer. You set up an online store, not that expensive. Mm-hmm. You set up a physical location, hospitality, beer, liquor licenses, all types of stuff, city permits. Like, the stuff is a mission.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate to get into some pretty good deals. But yeah, you know, the cost of doing business is crazy. And aside from just the cost, just, you know, the loopholes that you have to go through, like you said, permitting and, you know, licenses and all these things. So it's a challenge. You know, it's not set up to make it easy. You know, and like they say, if it was easy, everyone would do it. But, you know, in this day and age, with the amount of technology and innovation we have, you would think that jumping through some of these, you know, hurdles that the city, the state, the government put out, you think it would be a little bit easier. There would be a better roadmap to do it. It's pretty antiquated, you know, and it's challenging.
Tell me, let's go into, like, briefly go into each one of the businesses, what they are, you know, what they do and how that came to be.
Yeah. So the first place I opened was Sidebar.
Okay.
Which was on the border of Little Havana and Brickell.
I've been there before. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we opened that in 2014 to crazy success. You know, I would have never imagined. I was actually like planning on continuing to work for Roman while I owned and operated this place because, you know, I wasn't really sure. And to take that leap of faith and say, hey, you know, am I going to be able to pay my bills, you know, off this business? But from day one, you know, it was a crazy success. And I think
great location too.
Interesting location.
Okay.
I mean, we were under I-95 covered in trees, you know, like it was, it was a little bit of a bizarre location. Brickell wasn't what it was.
What it is now. Yeah.
Correct. And, but yeah, we took the leap of faith. I think the timing was perfect because unfortunately South Beach has kind of been going through like this like weird downward spiral, you know,
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Since probably around 2014.
Yeah.
Or maybe even earlier. So we brought an unconventional club bar concept to an unconventional space under an expressway in an area where, you know, nightclubs and bars weren't necessarily thriving. But I think the timing was right for it. And I think people wanted it, you know, at that time, you know, between valet, entrance, drink prices, it was difficult for a Miami local to be able to, you know, feel welcome in a lot of places on South Beach at that time.
Yeah.
So we were kind of lowbrow. We weren't, we took a lot of pride in service when traditionally nightlife service is non-existent. You know, you fight to get in,
They're doing you a favor.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you're paying.
Yeah, that wasn't the approach that we wanted. We wanted to be, you know, inclusive. We didn't want to have that like crazy door, you know, intimidation factor. We had inexpensive drinks and it was fun and casual and we had world-class entertainment in a place that necessarily probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was beyond successful and, you know, knock on wood, that kind of jump-started my career. And from there, I was at an age where going out late at night I was kind of burnt out, you know, from doing it for so many years. Yeah. You know, for someone else.
From like 18 to like 29, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And I wanted to, you know, try my hand at food. You know, at that point, I was really enjoying dining versus drinking, you know, late at night. So I opened a restaurant in Coconut Grove called Ariette. No longer own it. I sold it to my partners about a year or two ago.
Okay.
But opened that up. Crazy successful. But again, a new challenge because everyone told me, stick to alcohol. You know, it's so much better of a business than food.
It's already made for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more that goes into it. You know, making a vodka soda takes 20 seconds. You know, marinating a steak for 4 days and cooking it and this and roasting it, you know, and kitchen staff and all this stuff. So
yeah,
it was a new role for me, but it was a challenge that I wanted to prove that I could do to separate myself from just being a nightlife person.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, the first 2 years was a huge challenge, it did open a lot of doors for me. So okay. From there, 6 months later, I opened Baby Jane in Brickell, which is a restaurant, but more of a bar. So it was
Baby Jane.
Baby Jane, yeah. 500 Brickell.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so that's been open for 7 years now.
Still open.
Yeah, cool. Correct. Yeah, it's great. It's an amazing business. People love it, and we're fortunate to have it and to get the love from it. So, yeah, did that. And then 3 years ago, opened Bebito's, but in the midst of...
Which is this right here. If you're listening, you're not watching, but if you're watching the video, I'm drinking a coffee from Bebito's right now.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Rocky's Macho, my friend's Macho brand, so cheers.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
So...
delicious.
Still
warm. Love that.
Good. So in all of that, sidebar, you know, maybe 5 years in, started to get to a point where we didn't love it.
Okay.
You know, it served its purpose. You know, we made some mistakes, you know, it being, you know, my first place.
Right.
And, you know, we thought of, you know, maybe it's time to make a change. We have an incredible space at now becoming a great location because Brickell was, you know, turning into what it is now. And we decided to reconceptualize it.
Okay.
And with that, a good friend and a partner of mine introduced me to a guy by the name of Marcelo Medina. And he was heavy in the Latin scene. And met him, hit it off, you know, asked what his thoughts were. He was looking for a space. And we decided to turn what was Sidebar into La Otra. And that was, man, when was it? I'm the worst with time, by the way.
You're good.
That must have been 5 years ago.
But it was a location change, correct? Or same location?
No, same location.
Same location, okay.
So we had that location, turned it into La Otra.
Mm-hmm.
It was there until a year and a half ago. About 2 years ago. Made it through the pandemic, you know, ups and downs. We opened in November before the pandemic. So yeah, we opened in 2019. But it was wildly successful. So we made a lot of noise in a short amount of time.
Right.
So the second that we were able to reopen, South Beach at the time still had a curfew. We didn't. So we thrived when we were able to during the pandemic. And unfortunately, weren't able to renew our lease. So at that point, we started looking for new locations. And that's mm-hmm. when we found the location in Wynwood.
Yeah.
And we moved.
Which I've been to as well.
Great.
Yeah. Many times.
Good.
Yeah, I partied hard there.
Hopefully it was fun and you don't remember much.
Yeah. Well, the whole entertainment industry uses your location for events, like the biggest people in entertainment. I've gone to some crazy events there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of going back to what I was talking about with my dad and mentorships, you know, we've been able to nourish a lot of great relationships.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a great, you know, space. So with that, we've been able to pull off some pretty incredible things with great people, you know, with great labels, great managers, great artists.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we're super fortunate to have those relationships, you know?
Yeah. I really enjoy it. I also love the park. I love how both La Otras had good parking situation. Because it's not easy to have that, you know, especially where you were in the Brickell kind of like Havana mm-hmm. area. Parking could be a mission. If I'm not wrong, the first La Otra was like, we had a parking lot right in front,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We had a parking lot in front, and also across the street, there was city parking under N95.
Yeah.
Next to Publix. So yeah, I mean, fortunate, you know, and I think it was important for us to kind of have an outdoor space as well.
Yeah.
Like the original one.
Yeah.
So, you know, we found the space. It was a bar before. So we were able to quickly remodel it and reopen it. And we've been there since November 21.
21, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So what, year and a half?
Yeah, year and a half. I've gone to some events there with Universal Music and Latin artists. Mm-hmm. Really cool stuff, bro. And I like that it's a block where there's a lot of movement. You know what I'm saying? So it lends itself for being able to attract a lot of people.
Yeah. And we're lucky because that complex, which has two other spaces, it has a license to go till 5 a.m.
I was about to go there.
Yeah, which is unique to us. You know, Wynwood could be a challenge because most of our crowd is local. And when Wynwood turns upside down on the big weekends, it kind of turns away a lot of the local people.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a challenge. but we also get the benefit of those, you know, that critical mass of people in Wynwood and, you know, Oasis and a bunch of other places. Doma is a great restaurant that's right behind this. Tropical, the beer brewery behind this as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. So yeah, we're fortunate to be there. And now we just have, we've just opened a new place, Paraíso Stereo.
Paraíso Stereo?
Yeah, which is in downtown.
Uh-huh.
It's two concepts in one. It's a restaurant bar and then also a small nightclub in the back.
Nice.
The restaurant's a little bit delayed, but the club's open.
Okay.
And that's been open for a couple months now. So looking forward to that project and, you know, just plugging away.
The question, when you open these businesses, do you open them understanding that some of them are cycles and that you have to live the cycle of that business and that they perhaps may not be open for as long as you want them to be, but they live their period and then they could maybe slowly evolve into a new concept, kind of like what you did with La Otra?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I'm this is like, it's like a romantic thing for me, you mm-hmm. know, like these businesses. So like, you know, you dream about them being, you know,
a life forever. Yeah. Like pumping and killing it.
Yeah. And like, you know, you look at certain places that are like an establishment, you know, and like you hope and you strive to be that, you know,
yeah.
The reality is, you know, it might not be. And I think people will dictate ultimately what that concept evolves to be, you know, like,
right.
Like I said, sidebar evolved. You know,
sidebar into La Otra. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, even in the 5 years that it was open, it evolved from where it started to something else, you know,
okay.
5 years later. So, and people, I feel like the people will tell you that, you know, and same thing with Baby Jane. You know, there were certain things that we saw it one way and people kind of dictated something else. Like at first, like we didn't want to be a sports bar, so we didn't have any TVs, for example, you know, and we didn't want to have DJs, you know, because we wanted it to be more like of a lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple months in, TVs were in, DJs were playing, and it's what the people wanted. So, you know, even though we want to stick to kind of our guns of what we want and what we envision, we also want to not turn a blind eye to what, you know, the feedback we're getting from our guests.
So I like what you're saying, though, because, I mean, you have these concepts that you create, and you obviously want them to be that way. But you're also understanding of the fact that you have to listen to your audience. You have to know your audience. You have to read the room. And you take that feedback. You may not act on all the feedback, but you maybe, you know, you see the general consensus and then you make upgrades and you're willing to evolve, which is what a lot of businesses aren't willing to do. And that's why you see them die out or maybe not continue or not evolve into something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough business. I mean, you could have like every piece of the formula mm-hmm. and the best pieces of the formula, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to that, like if people just aren't, you know, receptive to it, you know, eventually, you know, you can only push it so far, you know.
If we could do a general breakdown of what it takes to run a successful hospitality business from a marketing perspective, okay, let's say that we have a hypothetical checklist, what things would be on your checklist? Let's say you and I say, all right, you know what, we're gonna open a speakeasy, Alex. Obviously outside of everything related to alcohol and cities and permits, whatever, assuming it's already set up and we're like, all right, we got to get to marketing, what do you look for, what do you look at, what do you...
Man, marketing's an interesting topic for me because I've been very fortunate, again, coming from nightlife mm-hmm. and kind of having an incredible network of people. I've been able to jumpstart my businesses with my network. My partner, Marcelo, came from a similar background, again, more in the Latin space.
Right.
So, you know, in the business that we have collectively, we've been able to jumpstart them with, you know, our kind of network that we've grown over the years.
Right.
And, you know, word of mouth to me is, you know, the core of kind of what our marketing is.
Right.
The organic kind of form of it. But I guess, you know, with social media, you know, that's... You know, it's such a great tool. You know, I know it can be difficult sometimes, but I mean, it's such a good tool to use, and to not use it is kind of like a disservice to you. And
yeah.
you could paint the picture however you want it, and it's an opportunity to kind of like have your, you know, kind of portfolio kind of on display, I guess, of like what your vision is and the look, the feel, the texture, the sound, because, you know, you could add, you know, music to certain posts. So I would say word of mouth, for mm-hmm. sure. Social media.
So nurture your existing network.
Correct. Correct.
Keep your people happy.
Yep. And then I would also, you know, say that aside from all those things, you know, a community building, you know, so, you know, working with someone like yourself or working with other businesses and, you know, how can we collaborate? You know, right. How can I introduce my product to your network and vice versa? So I'm a big fan of, you know, community building, working with people.
Collabs.
100%. Yeah. You know, a yoga teacher who's a great friend that has a great class and we turn the club into a yoga studio on a Sunday afternoon or, you know, painting class or, you know, like all sorts of random things to, A, make it fun, fresh, exciting, something new.
Right.
But have the opportunity to kind of do that community building, which I really enjoy.
Which essentially builds culture.
Sure.
Which leads back to the word of mouth.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Right. So you build a culture around your business. People like it. People attend there. Maybe it's a bar, but maybe you turned it into something else. You did a interactive event, a yoga, whatever the case may be. Your patrons come. They talk to each other. They see you again. They see that you're into what they're into. Now you're building a culture around your business. People start talking about it, start sharing on social media, tagging you, posting you. If you're active on social, they share. You share. The word starts getting around. And of course, having good partners or even having good supporters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, with that is just also like introducing people. So like, you know, we'll bring our people to some of these events that, you know, get to meet and mingle with people from another network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing feels better to me than it's like, oh, you know, I'm engaged to so-and-so and I met her at, you know, Baby Jane or La Otra, which weirdly happens a lot, you know,
yeah.
And that's really rewarding to me because it's like, man, we created a space where you were able to meet somebody, you know, and, you know, build a relationship, whether it's business or personal and all these things. So, you know, that goes back to the community building of like, okay, wow, like we, you know, that jump started here and you nurtured it and you went off and did business with this person or married this person or became lifelong friends with this person. So, you know, not to sound like too cheesy about it, but that's kind of like a rewarding part of what we do.
Yeah, it's important. And it seems like I forgot who I learned this from, but it was a while back. I was going on a YouTube video binge and it was talking about restaurant marketing because for a while I was in for a while, like right before the pandemic, I was doing that and I completely got crushed because all the restaurants were closed. So I lost my clients. But at the time, the person that I was learning from was talking about how when you own a hospitality business, say a restaurant, you always want to market to the second, third and fourth visit, right? If you go to a place, you attend the place, people treat you nice. The staff, you touched on that earlier. They're actual people caring about your experience. You got good food or you got good drinks. The location is nice. Your content online is good. All that stuff matters, you know? And you're more likely to draw the type of people that you want to draw into your business. And if you're marketing only to get that sale for that day, they're not maybe likely to come back. But if you notice, when people usually like a restaurant or like a place, they usually tell their friends all about it. Hey, let's go here. Let's go there. They end up going a bunch of times. So if you create an experience for the person, for them to be able to know that they're always going to be well taken care of there, you potentially have a customer for life, which, you know, in turn allows the business to have longevity.
100%. Yeah. Repeat customers is everything for us. You know, most of our business are local kind mm-hmm. of establishments. So
yeah,
that's everything, you know, and I think, you know, when we go out and say, you know, we're selling a product, the product we're really selling is that, you know, we care, you know, and we care about what we do in every aspect. So, yeah, we can make a great cocktail, we can make a great dish, but ultimately what we're trying to say is that, you know, there is care that was put into this, you know, from the service, right, from walking in to, you know, cleaning something a certain way or polishing a glass a certain way. Those are all kind of standard operating procedures, but, you know, if you do it with, you know, intention and caring, you know, hopefully that what we think translates, you know, to the end result, which is someone enjoying themselves and coming back, like you said.
Right. And you've done this several times. We've already talked about a few businesses that you've done. So I can imagine that you already have, I mean, it's not cut and paste, but you potentially already have a framework of things that you know are need to be done, checklist. Like, for example, me on the marketing side, when I onboard a new client or I start a new project, I have a checklist of things. I already have a framework that I follow, and I know those are best practices for me. What you could call my operations playbook, right? My Bible. Are you actively working on these frameworks for to be ready for the next potential project or the do's and don'ts or things to look out for? Is that something that's on your radar often?
100%. I think now being, you know, in this business for, you know, 8 or 9 years now on my own, I was lucky with the first one, which was Sidebar, which was very successful. And when money's coming in, it's easy to overlook mistakes. When money isn't coming in is when the mistakes kind of
start seeing all of them.
They start rearing their ugly head and it's like, oh, okay, you know, I need to get better at this, right. You know.
And you usually throw money at the problems, whatever, and you keep it moving, you know. But when things are a little different, then you start noticing.
Correct. And yeah, and you know, you don't necessarily need to optimize, or that's not your focus, is optimization or efficiencies. And, you know, even though I learned a lot in the years working for Roman, I wasn't so involved in the back end of the business. So there was a lot of things that were new for me, a lot of costly mistakes, a lot of things I had to learn. And I think now, you know, in the position that I'm in, you know, now after doing this for so many years and having different concepts, that's one thing that is a huge focus for me is, you know, optimization, efficiency, systems, procedures, innovation, you know, using, you know, it's incredible the systems that we have now versus when I started, you know, apps and programs and all these things. So
POS checkout,
it's insane. I mean, looking back at our first POS, it's like, you know, it's like AOL, like dial up, you know, yeah. Compared to, you know, high speed internet now. Yeah. And so, you know, aside from driving the business and driving sales, you know, marketing and pushing, you know, pushing events and all these things, I really, really enjoy, you know, kind of the back end of the business. So yes, to answer your question, we have some concepts that are, you know, more alike and those things kind of mirror themselves. And we have others that are not, you know, like Paraíso and La Otra are more, or, you know, nightclubs. So we're able to mirror a lot of those, you know, standard operating procedures. Bebitos and Baby Jane, more food driven.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to, you know, mirror things there. When Paraíso opens the restaurant portion, we'll have those systems from Bebitos and Baby Jane as well.
Those are invaluable, bro.
It's great. And, you know, I can't preach enough, you know, like understanding your business wholly is so rewarding. And, you know, you sleep better at night, you know, knowing where the money's going, knowing things are being done. And, you know, for me, one of my mentors who's a partner of mine in the Mezcal brand we have, he taught me something early on, and he goes, you know, start with the end in mind. So, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people start and it's a mess and it's a disaster and you're in there day and night, you know.
They're in a maze.
You're working in your business versus working
on your business. Yeah.
So that's something I learned. And, you know, if you start with the end in mind from the beginning, you know, organizing, structuring, implementing certain things, you're going to be set up for success, you know, earlier on versus like scrambling to figure it out later on.
Right. That's good. I like that you touch on people that have helped, you know, and then you show that respect, because in anything, you know, there's a lot of people that say self-made this. There's always somebody that helped you, or even somebody that did some fucked up shit to you and you learn from that. And now you know what not to do. Everybody plays a key role in like helping you become who you are, you know, down from you learning from your father and being in meetings to, you know, becoming a man and learning from Roman and going through these experiences. All of those things like shape who you are now, whether at the moment they made you feel like shit or sad, or like you wanted to quit, or whatever the case may be. Now you know, like now, like it's like going to the gym. It's like training for a sport, training for a playoff. Like you know how to play now. You're in the game. You may not have all the answers. You may not have the magic formula, but you for sure know how to handle things, and you know how to pivot when you need to. Because I'm sure you've had to pivot, especially maybe during the time of 2020. I'm guessing that was maybe a challenge for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the beginning of the year. It was challenging, I'm guessing, for the first, what, like 6-7 months, and then things started to ease off?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a kind of a roller coaster ride. And I think going back to what we were saying, you know, people have invested in projects that we have, and, you know, I don't take that lightly. You know, so if someone's willing to invest their time, their money into myself, projects, my partners. So, you know, I'm fortunate to have great people around me, my staff, my team, like I said, my partners. So it's been, it's been great, you know, to have people kind of believe in you or trust in you and all those things. So yeah, 2020 was a challenge.
How did the mezcal come about?
Oh man. So I had a young guy. I mean, it's a long story. I'll try to make a long story not so long. A young guy approaches me on my birthday at Baby Jane before I sat down, you know, to have dinner with a bunch of my friends. And he goes, hey, I heard it's your birthday. I wanted to drop by and give you this as a gift and thank you. And, you know, this guy looked like an Irish guy with a curly mustache. And I'm like, man, you know, I meet a lot of people sometimes after a few drinks. So, you know, memory could be a little blurry, but I was like, I would have remembered this guy. So, you know, I said, you know, sorry, you know, have we met? Do I know you? And he goes, no. He goes, this is my mezcal. You know, your bar manager picked it up recently. And I just wanted to thank you for being one of the first bars in Miami to pick it up. And I go, man, you know, that's interesting. This is your mezcal. And he goes, yeah, you know, and kind of told me his story. I was super intrigued, and me kind of being overly ambitious, you know, I already knew like this, I got to get involved.
In your
this.
Mind, your brain was firing off in every direction. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, man, let's sit down and grab dinner, you know, at a time where I know I'm not, you know, with other people. I had dinner later that week. They told me his kind of story. He had the rights to kind of distribute this product in the US and was driving Uber. Well, sorry, moved to Miami for the first time, was driving Uber, going to different spots, kind of just selling his product. And, you know, incredible story, good amount of success in a small amount of period without, you know, a lot of means. And I asked him, you know, you have investors, like, how are you doing this? And he goes, no, you know, the money I get from Uber and cashing out maxing out my credit cards.
Wow.
I've been able to kind of make it work in the short amount of time I've been in Miami. And, you know, my next question was, are you looking for help? Are you looking for investors? And he said, yeah. So the next day I took him to my best friend's father, who I said is one of my mentors that told me to have kind of the end in mind. And I said, you know, I got this kid, great product. I want you to meet him to kind of tell me what you think, you know, because now this is a different type of business. You know, this is something that involves, you know, Mexico, something that involves importing
distribution,
liquor,
the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But also like a lot of legalities behind it. So I took him, you know, he's in banking by trade, but, you know, entrepreneur at heart.
Yep.
So took him to meet him, fell in love with the guy, fell in love with the product. And, you know, a year and a half of doing due diligence, going to Mexico and restructuring, we bought the business, you know, with Ernesto, another partner, Silvio, and a group of investors. And we bought the business in 2019, in June of 2019. Okay. So, you know, tough during the pandemic, but we're still around. A lot of small liquor brands kind of folded during the pandemic. So we're fortunate that it's able to sustain itself and it's growing. And it's been awesome. It's been awesome to learn that side of the business. It's been awesome to do business in Mexico. And, you know, Silvio and I structured this whole thing with the mentorship of Ernesto and some of our other investors who have a lot of experience. And it's been super rewarding, learned a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been great.
And it goes without saying that you have it at your locations, right? Well, the locations that serve alcohol.
Correct.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And how has the work been, considering that a lot of it has to do with Mexico? You have to travel a lot, or it's been something that's been fairly easier to manage for overseas?
Well, we have the original founders in Mexico are still partners, and they're a great couple guys, you
okay.
know, and you know, phone calls, Zooms. Before the pandemic, I was going a lot.
Yeah.
In the year and a half of doing due diligence, we were going a lot.
Yeah.
Pandemic, I didn't go as much.
Of course.
So yeah, you know, I haven't gone as much as I have, but yeah, you know, I still go a few times a year.
Yeah, it's understandable. I sell millions of dollars a month for people that live in other countries or even other states. Haven't even met them. These days, as long as you have a solid team, guys in Mexico handling their thing, doing, make sure the product's good, make sure it's good. You have your locations, work marketing, work investments. It's everything's a team effort, man.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool that you see opportunity, right? You know, you have your physical locations and you see an opportunity here. Guy that randomly walks up to you, gives you the story. That's why it's also good to be open-minded, because you could have just easily been, oh yeah, thank you, whatever. They didn't even pay attention. Some people receive gifts and they just give it to somebody next to them. Oh, here you go. You know what I'm saying? You looked at it, you appreciated it, you gave the guy the time of day. You didn't get scared away by the fact that maybe he didn't have all his shit together, but you saw the potential. And a lot of the times in the business, it's not only the product, but it's also the person. You know, you see the drive that they have, and you see the fire in their heart for what they're trying to do, that, you know, that kind of like warms you up to the business. Let me ask you something. If you weren't in hospitality, none of this stuff, what would you be doing?
Man,
what do you like, or like what are you passionate about outside of that?
What a good question. I've never been asked that question. Shit. I don't know, to be honest with you.
No.
I studied to be an architect for 2 years.
Okay.
But, you know, I started making money in nightlife. I was young, I was having a good time. And I thought that was the end all be all, which it ended up being. So something in design, architecture, you know, I really enjoy art, really enjoy music. So maybe something in those, I don't know, mediums or worlds.
Maybe throw a festival or some shit somewhere.
I tried that, actually.
You did?
Didn't work out too well.
Those are tough, man. I mean, the restaurant business is tough. I've heard. Yeah. I've heard. Not because I've had a restaurant, but I've heard that it's difficult. You got to love it. You got to have thick skin. And you got to have good supporters behind you, good money behind you to pull it off. Yeah. Now, question. You're passionate about all of your locations, and you mentioned about how you don't, for the most part, they're local businesses. Have you thought about franchising any of these businesses, even nationally or internationally, like taking the name somewhere else?
Yeah, I think Bebito's would be the one potentially to kind of grow and, or, you know, roll it out. Franchising, not sure yet. I think I want to get it to a certain point where, or a certain amount of locations before I consider that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing we do is something called a franchise model. And kind of going back to what we're talking about, systems and procedures, is that we try to set up the business as if it was a franchise. So if we open up a next one, we have the playbook, you know, and it's like, this is the design, this is the branding, this is the recipes, is there, you know, opening procedures, closing procedures, so on and so forth. So I think that's important for us. And yeah. I think when the time does come, hopefully we'll be prepared for it, you know, yeah. by having that kind of approach.
Yeah. There's so many guys and girls in the info product space that who've built massive successful businesses, and they have these playbooks, and then they either go into consulting or they go into like selling the info product, like the framework. There's a lot of business to be made there. Imagine a guy in Monaco who comes to Bebito's and falls in love with Bebito's, reaches out to you. Hey, I love what you're doing. Do you have a mastermind group or a community where there's other owners, and you like, there is so much I learned so much from communities like that, specifically like in marketing and media, where there's other owners and people like throw ideas at each other, they help each other out, and it seems like you work in a very collaborative space, right? So, you know, God knows that one day somebody from a land far away walks into one of your places, completely falls in love, and before you know it, you're freaking, you know, you have a business in Barcelona or something like that. Just the way that one day somebody walked into your business and now you own a mezcal brand. You know, so the possibilities are endless. But those things only happen when you're deep into your business, you're spending time in your business. And in Spanish, they say, el que tenga tienda que la tienda. Whoever has a place, you got to tend to it and you got to be around it. And that's how you figure out what needs to be worked on, what improvements need to be made, and people be able to pitch you things the way this mezcal thing came to be, you yep. know? That's super cool, man. Let me ask you one final question. How do you want to be remembered?
Oh, man. That's a great question.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, without putting too much thought into it, I think it's just, you know, someone that did as much as they could while enjoying themselves and providing a great product. You know, like I said, you know, I've had opportunities to do things that I don't necessarily, you know, believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, I want to do things with good intention and right. that are authentic, that people enjoy. So I think those are kind of the things probably I'd want to be remembered for.
That's something great to be remembered by. Something real with substance, not superficial. That's some bullshit. You don't want to be remembered as a dude in the Ferrari or fucking pulled up in a crazy car.
I wish, you know? I could afford one.
Hey, man, sometimes it's all about investing into things that are more important than
sure.
how you look to the world. Investing in yourself, investing in your health, investing in your business, or maybe thinking about the next business. There's time for all that stuff. There's time for all the fun stuff, but you're young. I'm young. We have our life ahead of us. We have a whole lot to learn. Can you imagine what you're going to be doing like in 10, 15 years, bro? Gonna be crazy. You gotta be back on here talking about where you're gonna be at that time, you know, because life moves fast.
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine 18 year old you probably knew that you were gonna do well and that you were gonna like do what you love, but you'd probably be surprised or even proud of yourself if you could go back in time and show yourself, be like, hey, look, little Jason, look what you did, bro. Like, look at all these businesses. Like, you're involved in all this. It's okay. You're going to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all about being patient, and nothing comes easy. And there's a lot of hard work. You get kicked in the nuts. You get, you know, kicked on down to the floor sometimes. A pandemic happens, or bad partnerships, or regulation, or whatever the case may be. But that's part of the game, right? Not feeling sorry about yourself, just keeping it moving. And before you know it, you have a few locations in Miami. You got a Mezcal brand, you got Bebitos, and you're on Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, yeah, it's my first podcast.
So. Yeah, what an honor to be able to have. Yeah, and it's super cool because, like, we didn't know each other up until, like, we met today and we had talked before, like, online on the phone to set this up. But I had been, like, look at that. I've been a guest at one of your locations, bro. Like, and now you're on my podcast, just like the Mezcal thing. It just goes to show community. You talked about it. Yeah. Build community, care about your people, do things authentically, and then things happen. You know, things magically happen for you. They start lining up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I hope for.
Cool. Well, listen, man. Thank you so much for being here today. Guys, this is Alex Quinn, Jason Odio. We're in Miami today. This is super cool because I always love hospitality businesses. Wouldn't get into it myself because it's not my jam, but I'm always a customer. I'm always a client, always a marketer. So if you guys want to check out all of his locations, they're going to be linked in the show notes. Okay. So whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, go to the show notes. You're going to be able to see his social media profiles, his business social media profiles, the websites to his businesses. So check them out. You could also go to hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast, where you will find podcast episode page, be able to see everything we talked about here with the show notes. And if you learn anything from this podcast, if you got any golden nuggets, if it, you know, did anything for you, share it, like it, send to a friend, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.